Good morning. I'm Rick Harp. This is your APTN News Brief for Tuesday, August 23rd. We begin with the Supreme Court of Canada, a body whose ranks will soon include Michelle Obonsawin, an Abenaki member of the Odinak First Nation. So what do legal scholars make of the unprecedented nomination of an Indigenous person to the bench? Fraser Needham found out.
Obonsawin has served as a judge on the Ontario Superior Court of Justice since 2017. She holds a law degree from the University of Ottawa, a Master of Law from Osgoode Hall, and a PhD in Law from University of Ottawa. University of Victoria Acting Dean of Law Val Napoleon says Obonsawin's nomination strengthens the top court and makes it more inclusive.
Well, I think that the breadth of experience that she brings and diversity and perspectives that she brings will make the Supreme Court of Canada a stronger and better institution, because it will be representative of multi-juridical Canada.
University of Ottawa Dean of Law Kristen Boone says the legal faculty is ecstatic about Obonsawin's nomination.
I think that she brings deep expertise and experience in Indigenous issues at a time when it's very relevant to the Supreme Court of Canada. She's fluently bilingual. She was a mother with two teenage daughters while she was working on the bench, and she achieved her PhD. So she has a really deep combination of academic expertise as well as expertise in practice and in judging.
Odinak First Nation Chief Richard Obonsawin also says the community is very honored.
She has made her nation very, very proud. You know, education has always been a thing for our community. And for one of our people to make it to that high of a level is amazing.
However, Napoleon says even though the nomination is significant, it's still only one step in making Canada's legal system more inclusive of Indigenous perspectives.
I think that it's a signal, like through government, through business, across this land, that there's potential, that there's more to learn, that there's more to do. This is a step, right? There's lots more work to do. The communities are engaged in the hard work of rebuilding their Indigenous legal orders.
Obonsawin will replace Justice Michael Moldaver, who officially retires on September 1st. Fraser Needham, APTN National News, Ottawa.
This fall, we'll see a familiar face join the team at the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation, the Honorable Murray Sinclair. A special advisor and elder in residence, Sinclair will provide Indigenous law guidance and other expert advice. He'll also assist the University of Manitoba's Faculty of Law and support its efforts to fulfill the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The first Indigenous justice in Manitoba, Sinclair later served as the TRC's chief commissioner.
Hi, I'm Dennis Ward, host of Face to Face, an interview show putting the spotlight on First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people that are making an impact on society. From activist Autumn Peltier to actress Crystal Lightning, you can hear all these interviews and more on the Face to Face podcast. Download and subscribe on your favorite player.
It was a tragic weekend on Montreal roadways. Over a three-day span, two Inuit women died in separate incidents. The first happened Friday around 4 a.m. when a car struck and killed a woman from Pivournituk as she tried to cross a highway in a wheelchair. She later died of her injuries in hospital. Then on Sunday, around 1 a.m., a 26-year-old woman from Umuyak was pronounced dead at the scene after she was hit by multiple cars. She'd also tried to cross a highway, in this case on foot. Both women hailed from the northern Quebec region of Nunavik. Both were clients of the Ulavik Health Center on the West Island of Montreal. Provincial police are now investigating both incidents. And finally, the son of a 60s scoop survivor has carried on his late father's fight for Indian status, a fight he says is all too common for families like his. Lee Wilson reports.
And you can see by his facial features, his nose and his mouth, he is visibly Indigenous.
Aaron Gravehut II holds up a picture of his grandparents, Barbara Fleming and David Fleming, and states they are Indigenous. He lives in Kitimat, B.C., and is fighting to prove his father is a status Indian under the Indian Act. He says it was a lifelong challenge for his father, a 60 Scoop survivor who passed away in 2016. But he filed an application on his father's behalf with Collectiva, who is handling class action settlements for 60 Scoop survivors.
You know, I was on Facebook and I was looking at their lawsuit. They had the 60 Scoop lawsuit. I'm like, man, my dad wanted that, but he died before he got that. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do that for him.
This summer, Gray Cloud received a notice of intent to reject his father's application from Collectiva. Not an official rejection, but giving him 45 days to provide more information. Métis and non-status are currently not eligible for compensation. Gray Cloud II filed a Freedom of Information request for his father, Aaron Gray Cloud's adoption records. The province of BC records show his father is Indian and Caucasian. He sent his father's documents to Indigenous Services. They are working on his father's file. An Indigenous Services email shown by Gray Cloud stated that based on the search of the records provided, it was not possible to identify his father as a person who has been registered as an Indian. Gray Cloud expressed frustration with the challenge to prove his father was Indigenous after being put in foster care in Vancouver in the mid-1950s.
And yet it was so easy for them to write him down as Caucasian, to whitewash him, yet it is so difficult to undo what they have done.
Indigenous Services sent APTN an email statement on the requirements and stated they are working with Collectiva. Canada worked closely with the third-party administrator Collectiva to support administration of the 60 Scoop Settlement Agreement. A key part of the support was to update protocols, processes, and systems related to the registration process, with the understanding that these improvements would benefit all individuals seeking registration under the Indian Act, including those impacted by the 60 Scoop. Anyone who believes they may be eligible for registration is encouraged to apply. Gray Cloud II says his father's fight for registered status was a major frustration before he passed. He will wait to hear back answers from Indigenous Services Canada. He is sad that if his father's case is successful, he won't be here to witness it.
Even if they do accept his application, I regret that he's not here to accept it, to be able to revel in it a bit, to be able to feel the victory.
Gray Cloud II is raising awareness of his struggles in hopes it brings justice for his father and other 60 Scoop survivors facing similar circumstances across Canada.
That he didn't want revenge. He wanted justice, you know, and that echoed through my life on the times where I was so frustrated at this process and having my history taken from me. Where I, as a young man, I do remember wanting revenge and my dad sitting me down and telling me, that's not the path. You know, that's not going to bring the change we need.
Lee Wilson, APTN National News, Kitimat.
That's your APTN News Brief for Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Rick Harper.